this morning, as I was in the Word, He kind of pressed me to go to Isaiah. And I want you to kind of look at this word to see that the Father's hand was on His plan for a day of the Lord. And in chapter 2, He talks about the last day, or in the last days. It was a vision that he had. So you can kind of take a peek at that. This is what Isaiah, son of Amos, saw. So there's a need to understand vision concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Do you ever wonder why Judah and Jerusalem are separated? He kind of pressed me in because of Wade Taylor's word on who the people of Zion are and the people of Jerusalem. And they're different. They're different, their callings are different, their abilities are different, etc. Judah definitely is waiting for the Messiah. But it says in verse 2, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established, which means government, as chief among the mountains, as chief among the what? Governments. It will be raised above the hills, meaning the lower governments. And all nations will stream to it. Doesn't say some. Many people will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us His ways. He should have a circle around it. Because it's not going to be you that's going to do it. He will teach us His ways so that we may walk in His paths. The law will go out from Zion, again, a different level. Again, understand, there's a difference between Judah, there's a difference between Jerusalem, and then there's another level, the level of Zion. Amen. The word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So in other words, get a clue, separate them. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for the many people. He will settle what? Disputes. For many peoples, with an S. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations will take up swords against nations. Nor will they train for war anymore. So there's a whole change getting ready to happen. Come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. The house of Jacob is the house of flesh. If you remember, Jacob had two natures. He had the new name, which was Israel, but his original name was supplanter. The day of the Lord, verse 6. You have abandoned your people, the house of Jacob. They are full of superstitions from the east. They practice divinations, witchcraft, like the Philistines, and clasp their hands with pagans, connecting with them. Their land is full of silver and gold. There is no end to their treasures. Their land is full of horses. There is no end to their chariots. Their land is full of idols. They bow down to the works of their hands, to what their fingers have made. Flesh operating in idolatry. Verse 9. So man will be brought low and mankind humbled. Do not forgive them. Now that's a scary part. Do not forgive them. And if you look at the little A or the footnote on that one, it says, or not raise them up. In other words, I believe God is saying, I can do this job all by myself. I don't need your help. Get a clue? Go into the rocks, hide in the ground from the dread of the Lord and the splendor of his majesty. So the radiation that's going to come out of the church will create what? Division. 11 is very important. The eyes of the arrogant man will be humbled.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
The eyes of the arrogant man will be humbled, and the pride of men brought low.
Jesus.
The Lord alone will be exalted in that day. If you haven't got a circle around that, you've got a problem. In the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. We're there.
That's right.
The Lord Almighty has a day in store for all the proud and lofty, for all who are exalted, and they will be humbled. Get the confirmation. Not they might be, they will be humbled. For all the cedars of Lebanon, tall and lofty, and all the oaks of Bashan, for all the towering mountains, governments, and all the hills or high hills, for every lofty tower and every fortified wall, for every trading ship, for every stately vessel, the arrogance of man will be brought low. Did you get it? Three times. And the pride of men humbled. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day, and the idols will totally disappear.
Hallelujah.
They not might be, they will be.
That's right.
Men will flee to caves in the rocks and to the holes in the ground from the dread of the Lord and the splendor of his majesty. Again confirmed. When he rises to shake the earth, in that day men will throw away to the rodents and bats their idols of silver and idols of gold, which they made to worship. They will flee to caverns in the rocks and to overhanging crags from dread of the Lord and the splendor of his majesty when he arises to shake the earth. Stop trusting in man. Got it? Stop trusting in man who has but a breath in his nostrils. Of what account is he? It goes on to chapter 3, but I don't want to go there. My prayer is that you awaken to the truth. Useless worrying is really a demonstration of your stupidity.
Thank you for sharing that.
It really is.
No, you're absolutely correct.
It's just showing us absolutely what correct. Are you thinking of doing when you try to do it on your own? And how useless you sound to the God of heaven who says, I've got it, I've got it, I've got it. Wake up, I've got it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know, I try to help him out and then I feel stupid. Because reality is, I am stupid when I think I can do it. But when I trust in his ability and I trust in his timing, and you know, I want to help out God. I really do. I want to see the captives set free. I want them to be so full of life and joy and love and abilities to worship God and taste the goodness that I'm living in.
Come on.
And I can't even convince them with even demonstrations of his power.
Jesus.
Because they can't hear. They haven't got eyes to see. And their whole being is under an anointing of darkness that I cannot deal with.
Amen.
It's way too big for me. And when I realized this years ago, I remember the Lord says, are you tired of using the sword? Well, you know, using the word was my thing. Chopping down demons and getting rid of them and doing all this. He says, aren't you tired yet? And to be very honest, it took a long time for me to wake up. He says, I've got angels just on park. They're all just stationed right there waiting for them to, you know, do the work that you're trying to do. And did you notice how tired you are? And I said, yes, Lord. He said, when are you just going to activate the word and trust my angels to do what they promised? And he reminded me of Hebrews chapter 1. They're ministering spirits to do a work that your mouth will activate.
Amen.
Your mouth will activate them. And yet you refuse to declare what I've already promised you. Because your unbelief is so strong and your worries and your fear tactics are so strong and embedded in you that even when you know the truth, you confess the lie. When you know the truth, you confess the lie. And I had to repent. I had to ask him to forgive me because, you know, I said, Lord, he says, you're so accustomed and so trained in your religious duties. And to be truthful, young man, I did not know about the collar until this morning.
Well, that's good. It should come up before.
I saw it. It was very visible. And I said, okay, God, this has got to come off. And I don't know. I don't have recollection of all the things that came out of your mouth. But I can truthfully say it was enjoyable.
And you saw today because I've been asking the Lord, I've been coming against those things.
Uh-huh.
And I thought I was all set. So that's why he showed you that today. Thank you, Lord.
Just bow your heads now. Say, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
this word is for me.
This word is for me.
It is for me to start believing.
It is for me to start believing.
On a higher level,
on a higher level
than I've ever had before.
Than I've ever had before.
Give me the grace,
give me the grace,
the living water that I need,
the living water that I need,
to wash away the old,
to wash away the old,
and then confirm,
and then confirm
that your angels are on the job,
that your angels are on the job,
they're doing a work,
they're doing a work
that I could never do,
that I could never do.
They can sneak in,
they can sneak in,
and sneak out,
and sneak out,
and do.
And do
such an awesome work.
Such an awesome work.
And the glory will go to you, Lord.
And the glory will go to you, Lord.
I won't have to repent again.
I won't have to repent again.
Because I'll know it was you.
Because I'll know it was you.
And I'll be convinced.
I'll be convinced.
Of your timing.
Of your timing.
Confirming yourself with signs and wonders.
Confirming yourself with signs and wonders.
And I thank you, Jesus.
And I thank you, Jesus.
That you didn't let me go.
That you didn't let me go.
You kept me in there.
And don't stop.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's it. John, anything else?
Is it confirmed to share what I was talking about?
Yeah, absolutely.
Up there or here?
Yeah, right here.
So Pastor was just talking about our unbelief. How is it that we serve? How is it that we say we serve and believe on and in God of all creation? We trust Him for our salvation. We trust Him for our sanctification. We trust Him that He has time and space in His hand. And yet we confess that we don't agree with that earlier confession every day. I'd like to open to you the promise that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We watch movies about when Egypt expelled. We say that Israel came out of Egypt. Egypt expelled them.
Got to get rid of them.
Okay. Look at all these things that are happening. Now the firstborn of Egypt is dead. These people have to go. And the word says that Israel requested, and that word actually is demanded, the wealth of Egypt. So we watch, was it the Emil movie? Yeah. And you see Israel leaving, and they have carts, and there's wooden slats behind them where they're carrying some of their ill or disabled. And that's all lie.
Yeah.
Because the Bible says, his word says, that there was not one affirmed among them. 3 million men, plus women and children, are leaving Egypt, and there's not one affirmed among them. We see them leaving with like they're homeless. Like they're, they don't have any place to sleep tonight, they don't have any money, they don't have anything, we're just getting out and we're escaping. And that's not the truth. God does not put us in positions of escaping. He puts us in positions to overcome.
Come on, preach it!
And we are overcomers according to his word.
Preach it!
So I'd like to open your mind a little bit, and therefore your faith, in saying that in recorded Levitical writings, there is recorded Levitical writings called the Mishlei. And in there, they record that when Israel came out of Egypt, the least among them, not the most, the least among them came out with 90 asses or donkeys laden with the treasure of Egypt. Mm-hmm. Gold, silver, and precious jewels. So the least among the Israelites left Egypt with 90 asses, or let's say it would take us, what, 3 tractor trailer trucks full of gold, and that's probably more because it would be overweight limit, right? With gold, silver, and precious
wide
jewels.
Load.
Wide load. Long wide load. Extra springs on that puppy.
Amen.
So being who God has made me to be, I said, okay, Lord, what's that worth today? So I went through the math, and I was one of those things that, okay, I'll get to it when I get to it. And I remember it was Friday, the Lord was saying, do that. And then it was 1 o'clock, you know, do that. Then it was 3:30 or 4 o'clock, whatever. Do that now. Okay, Lord. So go through the numbers. The numbers are, at conservative ratings, that the least among the 3 million Jews that left or were expelled from Egypt left with $72 million.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, who here has the faith or the confidence to say, Lord, I know a week from today or tomorrow or a month from today, you're going to bless me with $1 million or 100,000.
Who has the faith to say that? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Oh, I'll say it.
Okay. We have one bold person.
I'll say 2 million. Okay. Come on now. Bring it on.
72 is a good number.
72 is a good
yes.
number. And that's if only every donkey carried 100 pounds.
Jesus.
If every donkey could handle me, it'd be 3 times that. It turns out that they were receiving wages for 400 years
right.
of captivity.
Yep.
So the least among them received the accumulation of $180,000 per year for 400 years.
Wow.
That's more than minimum wage. Mm-hmm. That's more than $12,000. Right?
Yep. Mm.
And that's a transfer of wealth. And we just read about it again. And here's talking about us. When the proud and arrogant are brought low, why are they brought low? Okay. When Egypt expelled the Israelites, they were brought low. The word, one of the translations of the word is that they stripped Egypt
yes.
of their belongings. Not just their wealth. It wasn't like, okay, well, we're going to give you, you know, what we have in our savings account, but we're going to keep our 401k. It's not like that. Everything Egypt had went with them. Now, why does that happen? Is it? It's not so that they can go out into the desert and buy Lamborghinis. Right? Why did the Lord transfer the wealth of Egypt to the Israelites? Besides the reality of recompensing for 400 years of captivity. Anybody?
Keeping his promise.
Keeping his promise.
I think he did it to show what the Lord can do for his people.
Absolutely. But also for the purpose of he knew it was going to be required to build the temple.
Oh.
You know, 2 foot walls thick, 3 foot walls thick, yeah. Whatever it is, of gold, takes a lot of gold. I heard one speaker say, if I remember the numbers right, that the gold, silver, etc. that went into that construction would be worth, I remember right, it was 5.8 or 6 something trillion dollars in today's dollars.
So it wasn't for them, John, it was for God's glory.
It was for them to say, I've got you,
uh-huh.
Right? Uh-huh. I'm taking care of you. And imagine the lowest, okay? You know, a few weeks ago, Lord, before Moses came in here and all these plagues started happening, I was out and I had to make bricks and they wouldn't even give me hay.
Right on.
And I was laboring with my hands day in, day out, under the hot sun. They would give us water sometimes, sometimes they wouldn't, and I was starving. And now this whole troop of 90 donkeys behind me is all mine. And then, of course, the Lord brought them to a place that you're out in the desert. What will a ton of gold buy you in the desert? So the threat was, we have all this gold. If he left them in Egypt, they could have bought their way to happiness, quote unquote.
Right.
In the desert, what do they need? We need food, Lord.
Yeah.
And I read that the manna that came, I've never heard this before, the manna that came down tasted differently to every person, based on what they preferred it to taste like.
Oh.
Amen.
Oh, come on now.
Because okay. The manna was just, you know, a wafer. You know, Lord, this has been 3 months. Getting kind of tired of this taste. But it tasted, he customized it for every recipient.
Amen.
So what do you need in the desert? You need to be able to move along and trust the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And he won't give you that and then put you immediately in a position that you can delay or destroy the very purpose that he has purposed that for. What does the Lord need the wealth of the wicked today for?
Build his kingdom.
Build his kingdom.
The same.
To build the house.
Right.
Yep. Okay. Same. But now the temple are people. So I believe, Ann and I are standing on a few truths. And I'm calling everyone to stand on these truths. There's a level of faith, and we use the word faith sometimes as what we would look at as anointed hope. Okay? Let me explain. Lord, you know, I trust you. I have faith that a week from now you can give me $1 million. I hope. I think you can. I don't know. Can you really? You know, Lord, $1 million is a lot of money.
You're just trying to analyze. You're just trying to convince yourself.
Exactly. It's a self-talk. As compared to the confidence.
Yeah. Amen.
This is not the first time he's done this. He's done it time and again.
Yeah.
As the proud and lowly hide in rocks and caves.
Yeah.
Ann turned to me when Pastor was reading this, and she said, that is supernatural transfer of wealth. Why? They don't have a home anymore.
They have nothing.
Why? Because it's been transferred to the righteous. Mm-hmm. The Word of God actually says, when the wicked die, the money and resources that they have that are transferred to their children are not actually an inheritance at all. Why? Because that property belongs to the righteous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think we are being called out to prepare for that supernatural transfer of wealth.
Amen.
I didn't share this with Ann, but I'll share it now. We listened to the message on the phone. the company that we were speaking about earlier gave us a gift. No. Is that true? Did they give us a gift? No, the Lord gave us the gift. They were using it for strategy because it's good faith, right? So they're thinking we're going to give this thing and that will create leverage that we can then leverage them because we're negotiating some kind of a deal. And we're receiving it as, Lord, that's your hand. And I heard, it was that night sometime, you're rejoicing over this drum of raw material. Why don't you rejoice that through me you can own that company?
Dream bigger.
Come on.
It's a $10 billion company.
Stretch. Go to the next level, yeah.
Okay. Come on. Got to stretch.
Yeah.
And there, but I have, I'll confess myself, I need to be able to get to the place where, Lord, you did this. You did it. I was there. I saw it. And then you did this. So you know what? If I say today, Lord, next Sunday we're going to have $1 million, and it's Thursday, and the enemy's saying, what are you, crazy? I got to be able to turn around and use one of the giftings. What are the words for giftings as in the gifts of the Holy Spirit is to punch an enemy in the face is one of the meanings for the word, for that word gifting. Okay? No, I have the gift of faith. I know he can do it because he can't lie. His word says I can do it. And when the I there is, I can stand firm. Because having done all,
stand.
So I'm here, and you will not move me. Because I'm standing on his word, I've got his promise, and I now shift from that faulty, questionable faith mode that we want to think we have faith, but isn't really there, to confidence. Because I know it will happen. So as we look at our checkbooks and we say, Lord, you know, there's $84 due over here. I don't know how I'm going to pay that. That's the enemy saying, you don't believe that.
It's his bill.
Yeah, you don't believe that. You know that when the Israelites came out, they came out with just the, when they closed the hat on their back. Is that true?
Half truth.
It is not true. The clothes in the back, yes.
Yeah.
But even that, the Egyptians threw garments,
yeah,
clothing to them.
Yes.
Because they were slaves. They didn't have anything to wear. And when I heard that, I heard it in my inner man say, and the Egyptians knew how to dress.
They should
have. So it wasn't like, here's my BVDs. Good luck in the desert, you know?
They had
clothing.
Best of the best.
They were
exactly.
Fine.
Covering.
That is how God takes care of his people.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
We are striving for scraps. And as we strive for scraps, we are denying who he says we are.
Yes.
We should not act as slaves because we are not slaves.
Amen.
We are sons. So get ready, bride, because a supernatural transfer of wealth is going to happen. It's going to happen suddenly at some levels, and those that are prepared for it will participate. And the Lord will not allow you to participate in that if you're not ready, because it would be a service of destruction otherwise. Think of our most immature child that we have. Okay? What happens if, boom, you give him $1 million tomorrow? What happens to the average lottery winner?
Destruction.
They don't know how to handle it.
They're broke very quickly.
They don't know how to handle it.
Yep.
I have personal knowledge of people that have become millionaires with none of their own doing. And within months to years, they were all bankrupt because they did not have the character.
Right on.
Come on.
To manage that, which they could not see happening and were not prepared for. So as we catch the vision that God wants to, the Father wants to bless you. He wants to bless you in so many ways. Finances are just part of that. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless you while we are walking into the nursing homes. And as he walks into the nursing home, as we walk into the nursing homes, the very presence of Father through us raises those people up. And the nursing homes
get emptied out.
Are empty.
Amen.
And now we're driving by the temporary residence for Bob.
All right now.
And I said to my partner and best friend, other than Jesus, we have a problem. What's the problem? These things are going to be emptied out. The owner, the employees, everyone involved in that, that's making their livelihood with that, are going to become a vital enemy because you just destroyed their whole world. Now I can't pay my mortgage because I was working at this place and there was no one there to take care of. And I said to Ann, you know, the Lord's saying to me is we have to have a plan for what do we do with those empty buildings. When the Lord moves through us and they're empty. Why are they empty? Because God is gracious. And God's power through us will not be stopped. And what I saw, and this is now for Sam, your hands that you're working in right now mm-hmm. is not preparing you for another position there. It's preparing you to oversee these facilities, because as the Lord moves, families will be destroyed. One receives Christ, one doesn't. Okay? Families will have a hard time. And there's going to have to be a place of refuge.
Yep.
Where those people can go for safety.
Amen.
Come on.
Because what happens when you put people under real pressure? They get violent.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The unsaved.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So there has to be places, and I don't know how many beds there are in the country in nursing homes, I have no idea, or hospitals. They're already wired and plumbed for residential. If the Lord said, tomorrow you have to find, you know, 300,000 beds for people to sleep in tomorrow night. Lord, it's going to take, you know, 6 months to build one building, never mind 300,000 beds, but they're already there. And I can hear right now that he's allowed this to occur because that's part of his preparation. Mm-hmm. And that's part of his plan. And who's going to take care of all those people? The church.
Yep.
The Lord is
mm-hmm.
through his church, through his body.
Mm-hmm.
To do that and to keep all those employees on, etc. Think of the ministry to the employees. I was let go yesterday and they called me back today. But no one there has any health problems. Now I'm just cooking and cleaning and doing the things so they can live there.
Yep.
And the Lord needs those people that he can trust with the blessings. Not the magnitude of $72 million is a small thing. The character of being able to walk into a nursing home and take the 120 people that are there and they all walk out with you. Think of the conflict and the aggravation of the enemy to that. In my mind, that takes more maturity.
Yes.
And more preparation. Otherwise, that also could destroy someone. You know, you got to be, the soul has to be not just on life support, it has to be dead. Dead, dead, dead.
Because otherwise you can say, wow, this is pretty cool. I walk through, look how great I am.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of how great he is.
Mm-hmm.
So, together, we are a body. Let's just go before him now. Father God, you have called this body here. You have called it here to be the remnant to represent and to intercede for the Pioneer Valley and for all nations. You put it into our name.
Yep.
And Lord, we recognize and we receive that responsibility because you make it possible through your Spirit.
Amen.
To believe that we're only here for Pioneer Valley or we're only here for Chicopee or we're only here for 450 Memorial Street is ridiculous because then we limit your Spirit. And your Spirit is limitless. It is only limited by the very thing that we talked about earlier. That is I'm going to say it. The dog leashes that hold us back because of things and lies that we have believed and agreed to and given our power to. And that's done. So Lord, together as a body, show us the areas that we have agreed and that we've given our power to the very things that defeat us. So you can bring us in character so that the mind of Christ is not just a thought.
Amen.
But we actually are operating in your mind.
Amen.
Through your mind.
Amen.
That the Spirit has us so much that the soul is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And now our redeemed soul, because the soul that sins, it shall die. Your Spirit never sins. Day. The soul that dies, that sins, it shall die. And so that our soul now has been redeemed.
Amen.
And therefore it is ruling the body.
Yeah.
And our Spirit, because of your Spirit, is ruling our soul.
Amen.
And then we can operate, Lord God, on this plateau, this level, rather, that you are calling us to have the character.
Amen.
And the integrity.
Amen.
And also the value proposition.
Yes.
Lord, it's not about us, and yet you died for us. So we need to have the proper value proposition that we are beyond measure valuable to Father. And yet the old soul is worthless, is an enemy of us and fulfilling our destiny that you have called us to. Now I'm hearing there are people in this very room that are saying, yeah, that's good for John and Ann. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
They got a business. That's good. I don't know how Lord's going to give me $1 million. Would you please repent right now?
Amen.
Say, I'm sorry, Lord.
Amen.
I am holding you back from doing that which your word says, which you have already done before. And I need a fresh revelation that I am your son. There's no gender. And I have a full share inheritance for what Jesus, with his body and his blood, purchased for me. In every realm, divine health, healing of the psyche of the soul. What does that mean? It puts the soul back the way it was supposed to be, as it was in the garden.
Yes.
This stuff we talk about psychology. Oh my goodness, Lord, help us.
Amen.
The soul is designed to be subject to the Spirit.
Amen.
That's how Father made us, and in his image. We think about the glory emanating from us, and Lord, yes, I seek that. And I hear, Son, are you prepared to pay the price? For my glory will emanate from you, but that's not something that comes because of salvation. You are already saved, but if you want my glory to emanate from you, through you and from you, then that means I have to be inside you. I have to dwell inside you. And every single thing of your soul or fallen nature will get burned out with the fire and the flame. And that's hot. That's something that if you're not prepared for that price, Don't sign up for something you're not prepared to go through the whole thing. Was it Paul Keith, I think, said on one of his blogs, if you're going to decide to write a book, guess what? The Lord's going to have you live that book.
Amen. Before you write it.
That's right. So, Lord, we submit ourselves. Lord, Amen. We are not slaves, so we are not obedience right now. We are submitting as sons.
Amen.
And we submit ourselves.
Yes, Lord.
To say, Lord, yes, yes, yes. We accept the responsibility. We are willing to do what is necessary. And we are willing to lay down because it's not doing as much as it is yielding. Yeah. Every level you get to, mm-hmm. it's like, will you choose to yield to me? Or will you be proud and reject me at this level? Lord, we choose to yield to you.
Amen.
And again, we choose to yield to you. And again, 100 times a day, Lord, we yield to you. So that when the supernatural transfer of wealth, and I'm not talking about money right now, I'm talking your presence.
Yes.
For that's real wealth.
Amen.
The money that he'll put through our hands, that's just trappings, because we're a steward of that.
Mm-hmm.
But the real wealth is having him inside and upon us and emanating through us, because we have now been purified completely. Spirit, no need for cleanliness there, but it is his spirit, mm-hmm. our spirit, soul, and our body.
Amen.
We declare this, Lord God, not for our pleasure, but for your glory.
Amen.
For the building of your kingdom. And Lord, for these last days, that we can be part of the plan that you set in place before the foundation of the earth was laid. So we will give you the glory. We will not take the glory. We will give you the glory. And we thank you, we praise you for your Son. And we pray this in his name, the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
May the anointing of the Holy One of Israel continue to give you revelation of this word in order to accomplish what you have already been decreed to purpose. When your father and my father put us together in the womb of our mother, the church, we will be the sons and daughters that have been called of the Father to do the mighty handle, the hand of God through us for his glory. Yes. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Say, my eyes did see.
My eyes did see.
My ears have heard.
My ears have heard.
And my heart perceives. What you're now releasing to me.
What you're now releasing to me.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen.
And amen.